Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Alrighty, that was some music by Linda Irwin, and I see Amy came on with us here this evening. Oh, that's Amy. It's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Alrighty. Well,
one second here.
answer. No problem. So hold on a second. I'm going to do the...
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that my electronics were working properly.
I understand that one. Amazingly enough.
Anyway, so great. So good to be back with Cali, Jethro. Spun everything around, spun the Psychics Gone Wild roulette wheel, and we've moved all the times and the combos and things like that. So I
Exactly.
So I'm still not in the, I'm still not in chat yet. But
it'll take a while. Oh, let's see, Jan and Steve found us here. Let's see. Hey, Jan. She always manages to find us here. This is awesome. It's like no matter how difficult Blog Talk makes it, it's like she finds us. I'm like going, yay. Yay, Jan, for persistence. Oh, let me see. And now won't let me type. I'm trying to chat in there. It's like, hey, Jan. Okay, welcome. Glad to see you made it.
So...
Alrighty.
Jethro and I had a, well, here, maybe my, Jethro and I had a nice talk today about all things psychic and all things wild, so that was good that the two of us finally got to connect. Hold on, I'm going to try to click in again because I really would like to be in the chat,
really,
and then while I sit here and ramble.
I asked Jan how she finds us. Well, while you're doing that, I've got the what I call the daily list here. I'm going to go ahead and read off some of these here. We've got our master psychic, Jethro Smith, is at www.jethrosmith.net. It's JethroSmith.net. He is at 928-284-0437. He's also on Facebook and Twitter. You can call or go on his website to either book a reading or get an autographed book. And he called me this afternoon. He was real excited because not only are they now in Barnes & Noble and Amazon, he said they got him in his book into Hastings. And, it was like something like Carpe Diem. It's like there's another bookstore, and I should have written it down. It's like I repeated it about 20 times myself, and it's like he's going to kill me because I don't remember the name of it. But it started with a C and a D, so there's some kind of bookstore out there. But he said basically you can go into most any bookstore, and you can order it. It's getting wide enough spread now with what's out there. I guess they had some publisher problems and something with Balboa, but they finally got some of those things fixed. So basically you can order his book from just about any bookstore, and they can get it mailed in. So, you know, mail it into that bookstore. So that's really nice, and that's really awesome. Let's see. Some of the other things we have going on here. Okay, we've got information.
Oh, we have coffee. Talk about the coffee.
Yeah, but I want to talk about the people because that's part of our advertising stuff that we do. So got to mention here, Aurora Rose Psychic. She's at www.auroropsychic.web.com, and she's also at auroropsychic@gmail.com. She's at 270-259-2584. She has been on Mondays, and I'm not sure if we're at this point, Jethro, Amy wasn't kidding. It's like we took a few tailspins, loop-de-loops. It looks like we went into a gyroscope type of moment, and are going to have people flipping days, flipping times, flipping all kinds of stuff. But Aurora Rose is going to be in there somewhere along the line for a few more shows with us. And let's see. And then, of course, there's Linda Irwin. She's with us. I'm not sure what days anymore, but I know she's still on here with us. It's like we're still trying to figure out schedules and who's going where and what and when what days. But she is at Continuum X Headquarters on Facebook. It's Continuum X Headquarters. And that's on Facebook. She can also be reached at CNTNUUMX. That's Continuum without the O and the I in it, at Frontier.com. And she sells those CDs. She's got two CDs that she's made. One of them has 14 songs, and the other one, I believe, has 20. And she's selling those for only $10. And it would be, you know, if you want to order one of those from her, it'd be really nice if you stuck in a dollar or two for you know, mailing, shipping stuff to her. That would be really awesome. She is also at www.lindaru.blogspot.com. She's got stuff on YouTube, com. It's /users/vorlongod/videos. And then she's on Squidoo on Twitter. It's Squidoo. And then we have Amy. And I don't know what you want to give out on yours besides Awakening Claire on Facebook. It's like,
I just have Awakening Claire on Facebook because, in all honesty, I am just transitioning into this. And before I, you know, I have some books there at the publisher and some things, and I have some big ideas. But right now, I'm just doing this to get practice in turn, you know, and to share and just share the knowledge. But that brings up a interesting point, is that you know, the whole thing about all of us, and it's sort of what I wanted to start off tonight talking about, was money and the chakras, is that, you know, it's important that we all support each other in some way, shape, or form. And I know everyone says, I have no money, because we have no money. The reason we have no money is because the economy is shifting to an economy where there is not going to be money. You know, we're going to be bartering, different things like that. So for those of you who are, it's really important that even though we have no money, that we, you know, focus on our abundance and also find ways to support, find ways to support the people that you, you know, that you enjoy listening to. And there's a lot of different ways you can do it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you can support them financially by, you know, buying all their products. You may even have some sort of skill or something that you could barter for, you know, for these services. But it's really important that we all get in this mindset of abundance. And that we, even though our checking account balance might be zero or negative something or other, that we are still have treasures, you know, have treasures and talents. So just all, everyone should really try, because I know a lot of us have been hit really hard by life circumstances. And it's really a blessing because we're sort of the leaders into the new economy. You know, the universe saw fit to take our money away first. So that's the one thing I really want to urge during this advertising portion of the show. It's very important for all of us to recognize the abundance we have in treasures. And, you know, for those of you who, like me, who are not used to their new economic situation, just get creative. Surely there are things that that you can do for someone. How we're going to, it's really going to be the way things operate in the future. We're going to be sort of living in tribal type things and trading wampum and things like that. So, you know, figure out what your treasures are. Think about what you've got to barter, and remind yourself with affirmations daily that, even though you might not have as much currency or credit as you used to, that doesn't mean that you're any less affluent than before.
Right. Let's see, I seem to recall a really old book that said something to the effect of, with sustenance and covering, let us be content. There's a lot to that.
Yes, and it's hard for people. It's very, very hard. It was very difficult for me, because before I got breast cancer, which was sort of the beginning of the universe reframing my life for me, I used to have lots of things, and they all systematically were removed from my life, and it was quite a learning curve. But the biggest thing I learned was that, unfortunately, I was defining myself by those items. I was my Mercedes convertible. You know what? I wasn't. They got taken away. I couldn't run around and save people. I'm the former owner of a Mercedes convertible, you know. And that's why they were taken away. That was why they were taken away, because I was not spiritually mature enough to own those things. So for those of you who have suffered similar things in life, I'm not trying to make fun of it or belittle the difficulty of it, but you know, if we really believe this stuff with all of our heart and all of our soul, and that God is good and the universe is good and there are no accidents, that any of you who have suffered a shift in your economic conditions or a shift in your health or something like that, it was because the God or the universe saw fit for, saw that it was time for you to go to school. So lap up all the lessons you can, get as creative as you can, but especially about this money thing, because I find myself doing it. I hear it wherever I go. Everyone telling me, you know, I have no money. I have no money. Okay, so fine. We don't need money anymore. That was money is out of style. Money is out, old fashioned, out of style, and just take an inventory of your treasure chest.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds interesting. Indeed.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, but just, you know, and again, it's easier said than done. I'm really not saying that, like, oh, yeah, I'm so cool. You know, I went to, you know, it happens. I went to pick up dinner. I didn't realize that an automatic deposit had gone through, and my ATM card was, you know, declined. And, you know, I was very nice about the thing. But no, I feel sorry. I still feel sorry for myself. But you know what? No one cares. No one cares that I have no money. The only person who cares that what my kids do, because they don't like this either. But the universe, there's abundance in the universe. And like in my situation, it was a much needed adjustment. I can honestly say, and I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to like sugarcoat this or be like the inside of a Hallmark card or something, I am so much happier than I was when I had this fancy, expensive, overpriced car. I am happier, and I have to remind myself, because we really all need to remind ourselves. And that's why everything's becoming so difficult these days. People are really suffering because we lived in this sort of artificial opulence for some years, and yeah, for a long time. But you know, we weren't. You know, money is really sad. I'm horrible with money. I mean, I could go on and on about my money stories, because basically, I hated myself, so I just buy a bunch of things to make myself look like someone that I wasn't. And I've learned slowly and painfully, and I still don't remember this, that money is really sacred. And it's not even our money. It's God's money. And we are
I got a good one for you, though. Technically,
go ahead.
Technically, if you look back into you know, creation, if you follow the creation story, and I've been asking people this: when did money come on the scene? Because, as near as I can tell, God didn't create money back in the Garden of Eden. And I'm kind of going, when along in our human history did the little pieces of, you know, paper, which is what they are, rectangular pieces of paper with numbers on them, come to be? Because we've had different, you know, types of money. I mean, just even back in the United States early history, the types of money that each of the states had was not good in the other states. It's like each state had their own monetary system, and it wasn't good in the other states, you know. So that was one of the things they did, was the Constitution did, was unify the money system, you know, here. But I mean, you go to Europe and there's, you know, the euros. Of course, they tried to unify that there, but you know, before that there was, like, you know, the yens, the francs, the, oh golly, you know, pesos. I mean, I don't know, there's all kinds of monetary systems. So it's like, isn't it kind of a human, I'll just say, a human construct, in that what we create to barter with, essentially, because it represents, it's supposed to represent our energy that we're actually bartering.
Right, because you can't really walk around with a horse in your back pocket. People used to barter. And then, you know, you're not going to go into the restaurant and pay for your meal with,
with
livestock. So, you know.
A dozen chicken eggs. Right. True, very true.
And it is really interesting because going back to the chakras, which we used to talk about when Kelly and I were together, but we didn't talk about them on Friday nights. the money is a, your money is tied a great deal to your root chakra. And when we feel unsafe and disconnected, it's very difficult to attract abundance because you,
right.
Because you
lose
your
feeling that
of,
way.
Yeah, and you you will create if you want to, if you are walking around saying, "Oh, I am poor," that was just a prayer. And guess
you
what?
You are attracting, "I am poor," exactly, yeah. Right.
So it's really important for everybody because everyone, I mean, our country is broke. People are, we're really going to need to redefine our definition of abundance. And it's okay to have material things. You know, it is okay to have material things, but it's not
nice to
okay.
Have something over your head so you're not sitting out there in the
yeah.
Rain and snow.
Yeah, you're not going to learn any more lessons from, you're not going to learn your lessons better if you're, dirty and poor or whatever. But it appears in my case.
That's what a lot of people on the planet are.
And that's what we do. You know, obviously in my case, I was so stubborn and so self-willed that systematically the universe started taking things away to get my attention. And it took taking away everything. And then I was like, oh, okay. And had I learned the lessons earlier, and worrying about money
doesn't help.
It almost makes it worse. So
it
I really encourage everybody to rethink their thoughts about their relationship. Their relationship with money. Yeah, and when it goes all over the place, it goes to, and it's difficult. It's difficult because, we all go to, it costs more to buy at a local store, Walmart's cheap, and we don't have to do it all the time, but we should always recognize, I'm not going to go drive to the other side of town, pay three times as much and wait another day to go buy something just to buy something local. If I needed something, you're not going to go to hell
right.
If there isn't a hell. If you go to Walmart, you're not going to, you're not that. But if you pay attention to when you're happy, when you spend money and when you feel like your money just got taken from you, when you go to Walmart and get something, sure, you got it. Are you getting the experience? Are you getting the interaction with someone, just look where you're spending your money and look at what it got, what it got you, and just start making awareness. You don't have to run around with a piece of paper, write every single thing down. Just pay attention to where you spend your money and how you feel when you hand that money over. Are you handing it over with resentment? I think that's what's happening with a lot of people who still own their homes. Thankfully, I don't have that problem because the universe took my homes. And, are you handing it over, oh, thank you for this beautiful home in which I can raise my family? Or are you like, I can't believe my mortgage is $900 and this house is worth like 75 cents. You're going to have to do something to change
yep.
that because those are
absolutely.
The messages we send out to the universe. Those are the things that get us trapped And I see our country getting into this collective poverty mentality somehow or other. We went from this abundant, overabundant show off, like, you know, we look like pimps with our spinners on our cars, you know, to now we're all like this third world poverty mentality. Oh, you know, I'm so hungry. If you want to know what hungry's like, you know, there is a good part of the world that
is
suffers from
hungry,
start,
exactly.
You know, that's oh, there's nothing to eat. You want to see nothing to eat, you know, and just become aware of it because we have our culture,
okay.
You know.
Practicing the attitude of gratitude is like, I know is one of the big things. It's like, of course, I always go back to the secret on that. And, you know, just being thankful, really, truly being thankful for what you have. And there was we had a gentleman on earlier, Tony comes on Wednesdays. And it was so funny because no matter what it was, I mean, people had, you know, questions about, of course, he's, you know, kind of a relationship person too, you know, kind of a life coach, that kind of thing. And one of the big things that because I really sat and just listened to him, you know, as he was, you know, talking to different callers and stuff. And one of the big things that came across, it didn't matter how you flipped it, he'd say, start out and write that letter. Write that letter to the universe, you know, write it to God, write it to, you know, to yourself. But write down what you want, you know, write down your, you know, quote, perfect person for a mate, or, you know, write down, you know, I found my dream job and this is what it pays me. And, you know, and just, you know, different manifesting techniques. And it's like, I believe it was, I'm sitting there struggling, trying to remember. It's like, I know he said he manifested what he wanted for himself in terms of a job. And it was like, I want to say it was like a week. I'm actually going to have to go back and listen to that. That was on Wednesday. That was actually on Wednesday segment in the afternoon. But there was a gal from another show one night. And it's like, I've been kind of scrounging out trying to find it because she wrote a book. And apparently she didn't hear about all the difficulties and all of whatever about, you know, advertising and publishing and stuff. And she simply went forward with the idea. It's like, why, sure, you know, I'm going to publish my book. It's going to hit the stands. It's going to be a, you know, nationwide bestseller, blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Literally in 6 days, her book, from the time it hit the, you know, it was printed and it got out, disseminated to the public, in 6 days, it was a national bestseller. And her friend, the gal that was on the radio show with her, said, man, how did you do that? She says, well, this is what the book is about. It's how to manifest. I'm like going, I want that book, you know. Like,
well,
wow.
There's also an interesting story. There's this woman, her name's Sandra something. She wrote Simple Abundance because she got a divorce and was poor. And wait a minute, hold on, I want to pull this up. Okay. Somehow or other, she ended up in a situation. She ended up in a situation where she didn't have any money. So she writes this book, a daybook of comfort and joy, Simple Abundance, about enjoying the simple things in life. Well, it made her a multimillionaire. Well, she went out and bought stuff here, there, bought, you know, she was like, and then my friends used to call me Oprah because when I had a lot of money, and I was a horrible steward of it. If I liked something, I would buy like 10,000 of them, like, you know, like they were applause or hugs or kisses or something like that. My whole world love, or hate was all expressed in money. Well, anyway, Sarah Breathneck, I think. She's from England. She wrote this book, Simple Abundance, this little pink book. Women were going crazy over it in the late 90s. Well, she made herself millions and millions of dollars, bought all this stuff, decided to buy, I forget, someone's house that they wrote it, you know, some famous British author. Anyway, she's penniless, wiped out, you know, hooked up with made some bad relationship choices. People were taking advantage of her, all of this stuff, and she ended up penniless, sleeping on her sister's couch, and she's just written a book, and this is hysterical. Well, it's not hysterical. The part's going to be hysterical in a minute. She's written a book called Peace and Plenty, of how to find peace and money, and this is the craziest thing, and this is how funny the universe is. I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, I was in the dollar store, and lo and behold, there's Peace and Plenty on the dollar store book rack. So I was able to get Peace and Plenty for a dollar. So anyway, I hope nobody wanted reading today because going every place but that. I was just
I was gonna say, actually, for once, it's like, this is really amazing to me. It's like, we don't have anybody in queue. So I'm kind of like, Jessica said, come prepared with some topics. So I actually did, there's something I did want to kind of touch on.
Good.
Everybody made such a, just one of those blurbs going by. Everybody made such a big thing of Mercury retrograde, which it was, as, our faithful listeners and followers, through that Mercury retrograde from July 15th to, August 8th, everything went haywire. Everything electronical went haywire. And, of course, it didn't help that, we were having solar flares, we were having the meteorite showers, we were having all kinds of stuff. We still, we knew some friends out here, well, we still know them, actually, that last week there, apparently one of the satellites that carried there was their satellite internet carrier, got hit and blew up by, some of the meteorite showers. So it's like they were without satellite for about 4 or 5 days, so they switched carriers. Anyway, so it personally affected some people that I actually knew. It was kind of interesting. But now what we have going, because I was asking Jethro, I said, what was the big deal with, through August 22nd? And I believe it was actually Linda and I were talking about it earlier today, and she said Pluto is I keep feeling, it's a big, slower moving outer planet or something. I said, it doesn't feel like any of the inner planets. I said, it feels like something that's in the outer ones, one of the big planets, because I'm starting to try to tune in and go, okay, what is it doing? And it's like, and there are some weird vibes. And what it is Pluto is in retrograde until the 22nd. And I went, click, that makes a lot of sense, because it's, one of the farthest out planets. So, of course, if you want the joke on that, Pluto is such a Mickey Mouse planet, Anyway.
Is it still a planet?
Pluto. Well, actually,
I think Pluto got demoted.
It got declassified as a planet because the scientists didn't like the fact that it rolled on its axis rather than rotated. And I'm going, it's like, who's to say whether you're
right? So now the planet's pissed off, and now the planet, and now we're having to suffer because Pluto got its feelings hurt, and now we all can't use our electronics. And that brings up a really good point. And again, I think that's sort of my role on Psychics Gone Wild and everything, is to sort of be like the Judge Judy of all this stuff and say what it is. Okay, so then Mercury and then the solar flares. You know what? We all need to suck it up and become people that are grounded enough that there can be a nuclear explosion and we are still the same person. That's the goal. I am the queen of, the solar flares. Are you getting a headache? And everyone's in the solar flares, I'm getting a headache, and Mercury's in retrograde, and this and that. And they're all becoming, okay, so this is the kind of world that we are going to have to live in the next couple of years while we complete this shift. So there are going to be things going, this, that. We're going to be living in turbulent, changing times, which is why we need to find anchors. We need to find safe places. Also, with these people's satellites going down, I strongly suggest that I don't know my kid's address. I do not know my kid's address. So
address.
We had a.
I wonder if the Pony Express system is going to come back, because I really do. I mean, that's another hot topic for debate or discussion. Is Greg Braden and some of the other ones are the earth science people and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That this may not have to be, a drastic, horrible, polar shift, because, everybody's all wigged out about, oh my goodness, December 21st of 2012, it's coming up. It's like, okay, well, the Mayan calendar, yes, that was the last day they calculated. Now, the big question is why? And, of course, his newest theory, if I understand it right, is that we are going to be transitioning to a higher vibrational level. It's like, I don't know if you ever read the Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield.
Yeah, he actually is a friend of mine now. He's a friend of mine now. Yes, and that is what's happening. For all you guys who thought we were going to be lucky enough for an apocalypse to come and the rapture or the end of the world or whatever you want to call it, sorry, it's not happening. There is a total
God
shift,
the planet forever. So we might just shift up.
And there's so many people who are disappointed that the world's not going to end. People were so, people want a break. They're not, but sorry, we're going to have to, a whole bunch of things happen, and everyone's all saying the same thing.
And I think the Bible even says the same thing. I just found this wonderful pastor. He knows the Bible better than anything. And he even pointed out, I was so glad he pointed out that there's metaphors. So everything's not, like, even though it's an inerrant Bible, it doesn't mean, yeah, gay people need to be burnt or whatever it was. He's wonderful, and I'm so grateful that he's just right around the corner. But from what I've understood is that enough, you know, so many people, and it largely has to do with the internet. We were able to recreate our communities. If we hadn't found each other, we would be like, who would we be talking to? You know, our neighbors and our relatives and these people who we put ourselves in harm's way when we associate with them. But we were able to create these tribes and create these movements and create these new communities. And we were able to raise the vibration. And that's what's happening, is we are shifting to a higher vibration for the people who are getting a lot of the headaches and these things and having a lot of bad things happen to them and things like that. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of evil in the world right now trying to fight this as well, because I don't think they were expecting this. I think they were expecting the end, and we pulled it together. That's kind of, Greg Braden's fascinating. There's something called the Heart Math Institute that he's associated with.
Oh, yes,
and
I did. I've seen that on his site. I go on Instagram on his site because I love the stuff he posts. It's like, it's so cool. And
everybody goes, you know what? The thing that we're finding now and the thing that's so, so important is that we're living in a world right now where there's multiple truths, and that it's not possible for there to be multiple truths. There is only one truth. So anything where if I see black and you see white, we're both wrong. And I see how all these different religious groups, you know, have all these different things. And then even now with this political thing, you know, the presidential thing, you know, I'm not having any more political, you know, people used to keep their mouth shut about their religion and their politics, but we just decided we were just going to talk about everything. And it's polarizing.
Wow.
So, and then when I noticed that
because that's really the thing, is how can you, if you don't talk about things, it's kind of like a potato crop that goes underground and it kind of, you know, just goes and grows. And it's like, and you don't know, how can you speak truth with your neighbor or your brother if you're not speaking? You know, I mean, and there's no shame in disagreeing with people. I mean, that, you know, that gets to be the whole thing with me. It's like, whatever happened to, like, you know, the high school debate teams where, you know, somebody would, I mean, I remember some of this. I wasn't actually on the team, thank God, because I didn't want to be, type of thing. But, you know, they would make us take opposite views of what we actually believed, and we would have to argue the opposite point. And it's like, I'll tell you what, that was really hard on some of those, because I was very passionate about what I, you know, knew what I believed back in high school, and this is exactly why my English teacher made me do those kind of things. So it's like, you know, you've got to be able to step out and look beyond what it is, you know, you think, you conceive, you believe, because, you know, there's a lot of shades of rainbow out there. It's like, I don't know if you remember the NBC Peacock, you know, where they used to spread big feathers, you know, and all that.
The whole spectrum, even though we just talk about about things in sevens, but there are just a whole spectrum of things. But I think it's largely because of the media. The media started it with the Fox News, you know, versus the MSNBC. And then even, you know, I don't know. It's just so, but you bring up an interesting point, Kelly. Is it better? I mean, is it better to avoid those topics or, all these people have been coming to me and say, you know, all these people are like, I'm losing Facebook friends left and right because we all feel so differently about things. And there's all these issues. I can't believe how many people I lost as Facebook friends over that thing about the Chick-fil-A and the gays.
What was that?
Because I had, because I said that I thought that man had the right to speak his truth. And I'm wondering, it's probably better if people aren't going to put thick skin on and aren't going to be able to, just going to have to be with people who are just like them? Do I really want to be their friends? You know, and you bring up a good point, Kelly, because, I mean, when we talk about all these things, whether we agree or not, we always learn something. And right. we refine our truths and we find our way. But if we have to be careful about, and it's sort of what happened.
I mean, it's like what we've been through. It's like, I mean, you know, growing up, I mean, it was so funny because I got to listen to part of the Living in the Realm show last night, and it was Desiree on with her son, Ryan, and then Dina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were talking about today, you know, like when Jethro was growing up, when I was growing up, man, if he said the word psychic, people were like, oh, you know, cross themselves and like run inside and hide, you know. So now it's, and it's a lot of it's just the verbiage because, you know, we still find ourselves doing, you know, like, oh, I'm intuitive. You know, what's the difference between psychic and intuitive? Well, let's see. One is spelled with a P and one spelled with an I, you know, and they mean the same thing. It's kind of like what they call antics with semantics. And, you know, and it's really, what are we talking about? And, oh, that was the other one. It's like I had that pop in there. Is
antics versus semantics. I love that.
No, it's antics with semantics. It's kind of like, what was it? It's like, oh, yes, it's like the emphasis is on the wrong syllable. Things like that. But there was another really good one, an example, in the sense that if you look at us, we can just take us as a human organism, as a body, and say, look at how many different parts and pieces we have. You know, we have fingers, and then we have an opposable thumb. So, but, you know, yet when you talk about your hand, people don't usually say, you know, your fingers and your thumb. It's like they usually say, oh, my fingers, and they don't, you know, just assume that the thumb is, you know, along in there somewhere. Or, you know, your wrist joints, or... And I'm trying to remember how the scripture phrases it, but it says, you know, if we were all an eyeball, where would the nose be, or where would the taste be? You know, if we were all, you know, ears, where would the fingers be, where would the toes be? So it's like in a human body, we are a major connected organism, and this is kind of like what our planet Earth is. It's like there are, you know, there's the water system, and there, you know, the water cycle, and the rock cycle, and the air cycle, and all these different things, and they all have to combine, and they all have to work in harmony together. And just as so with the body, you know, if we were just all one giant eyeball, we might look like, you know, like a little Monster Mike or whatever on, what is it, Monsters Incorporated, that Disney Pixar movie, you know, or, you know, things like that. But it's like, where would all of our other senses be if we were only one type of thing? And I've heard another person say, what if we were all little green people? We were all the little green men in our little green suits, and we went out and, you know, every day out of our little green houses and walked down our little green walks and got in our little green cars and drove to our little green place to work. It's like, what if the world was all green? You know, and it's just that kind of sameness. It's like, is that what we really want? Do we really want everybody to be an all-green planet? You know, everybody's things all green, or everything's all blue, or everything's all yellow, or everything's all red. It's like, okay, you know, maybe we could do that. But it's like, where would the variety be? And, you know, or, you know, maybe people
would
not like
the variety.
Where
would the texture, and where would everything,
LC.
But somehow or other, and it's just, well, this is now coming up because now that, you know, with Linda, we've learned all this stuff about aliens, and now it's like, what are we supposed to call the aliens? Now, I remember when I was maybe seven or 8 years old, and it was right, because I'm old, and it was when black, or like my parents would call them, I think my grandmother called them Negroes, were then going to be called blacks, but then this is when it was transferring to African American was going to be the term. So
right.
I'm like,
how do we be politically?
And he's and my father and my uncle was trying to explain, like, you know, how they want. And I was like, why are we even calling them anything? Why are so? As soon as we keep creating this separation.
Right.
You know, and now we're having this other thing because now more and more people are talking about other life form. You know, I don't know, there were UFOs at the Olympics, you know, whatever. Now
really?
I find out that, and Eisenhower apparently had, President Eisenhower apparently had a meeting with the, you know, the world is full of anything you can possibly imagine is probably happened. You know, it's just a crazy, crazy universe full of crazy things. So now the new thing is like, now what are we going to call the, you know, are they going to need, like, so if we're not going to let the people from Mexico come up here, what are we going to do with them? Are we deporting them?
The word alien, doesn't it? Well, see, we've got our aliens who are Terrans, who would be, you know, terrestrials, and it's like, and then we have aliens who are extraterrestrials. So it's like, we have, you know, human aliens and ET aliens. It's like, okay, define alien, you know.
You know, we've just created so much separation. And for those of us who are lucky enough to have a little heads up on this, we're a little, because there's big stuff happening, you know, and it's interesting because I go to all different kind of places, you know. I go to Casadega where all the woo-woo people are, and they're talking about stuff happening. Go to Christian church.
Wow. Thank you. Casadega was the other place that Jethro said he got his book in. Thank you. I couldn't remember what it was.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Right. Casadega is a spiritual community here in New York. There's a place called Lilydale, and
Casadega's down in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in Florida. That's where Jethro lives, and that's where I live. And it's I've been there, and it's interesting. And but everybody, you know, the scientists are talking about stuff going on. The religious people are talking about stuff going on, you know, the environmentalists. There's more stuff going on right now. I've heard Greg Braden says in 5,600 years. Someone else said 56,000 years. I don't know. Big stuff going on. Everything's changing. Never have there been so many things at the same time being on this tipping point. And we have Becky saying that the sound's breaking up. Is that true? I can hear you, and you can hear me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Becky. I don't know. Sorry, okay. Becky.
Yeah. Another BTS.
So
Becky, it's the planet Pluto. It's still in retrograde. It's still messing
right.
us up.
Right. There's got to be an excuse.
Until
it has nothing
to
do with us. It's the energy. It's right. The ETs, the solar flares, Pluto. It's Pluto got demoted and is acting out. And Pluto needs antidepressants. Pluto, the former planet, not the Disney character.
We just need to go to Disney World and have fun.
So we're going to need to find, and I really think it's, you know, it used to be Pluto, Mercury's in, you know, it's good to have awareness of your situation, but I'm seeing all this Mercury in retrograde and the solar flares and, oh, I know I'm using it as a big cop-out, like, oh, yeah, it's the new My Dog Ate My Homework. It's the new My Dog Ate the Home. I was like, oh, yeah, the solar flares knocked out.
Meteorite showers. Remember the meteorite showers. Of course, now, when they actually are exploding satellites, it's like, yeah, I think there might be a little bit to that.
Now, my cell phone service, I thought there was something wrong with my phone yet again because I have these energy issues. Well, no, a cell phone tower in my close to my house got knocked down for 2 days. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Which shows
that?
I don't know. Me. I caused it.
You knocked down
my energy because I'm an extraterrestrial. We're going to have to take these. We're going to have to. And Becky, my phone's crazy, too. Half the time. And, you know, I try to make my real living, you know, the one that pays my bills using this phone. And it's so... I just sound like a little kid. So I think it's really important. You don't want to go turn into one of those hoarders and have a whole basement full of water and water desalinators and for everything else under the sun. It's probably a good idea to have a little bit of redundancy. If the only money you have is in your ATM, it's in an ATM machine, and your kid's phone number and addresses are in your are either in your email or your iPhone. Probably a good idea to.
How about a waterproof? How about a notebook that's held in a gallon Ziploc baggie that's waterproof? something you said for pencils and papers. Because what happens when you have no electrical access and your cell phone dies? And that's where all of my addresses are.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't think I was going to be channeling, but now I really am channeling. Keith, my dead husband, he was Mr. Hurricane. He had a battery draw. I'm no kidding. There must have been, and I had to like get rid of all this stuff because I don't want to be the owner of 500 batteries. I didn't, and it's too much. And but when the hurricane, we lived in South Florida. When a hurricane came, he could just go take this box, take
this box. And, you know, and then I went through the first, my first, well, I've gone through two, like, tropical storms here. And both of them, you know, remember the one when I couldn't be on the radio for, like, 3 weeks because it ruined my car, ruined my phone,
so
I got glass in my foot. And then the other one was, you know, an equal disaster. So we've been living pretty free and easy and frivolous and in a hedonistic manner, no matter how, you know, our culture, well, our collective consciousness was one of pretty careless. We've been pretty careless, and now we're just going to have to be, oh, who, do you have a backup flash drive? Yeah, I have, like, all of her stuff got deleted.
Everything on her phone got deleted. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, it's like, I wonder if she downloaded stuff to, like, you know, either her computer or it's like, you know, on a flash drive or something like that. It's like, dang, I would be in trouble because I got close to my 500 limit on all my contacts on my phone. I would be in serious kimchi if I got all my stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, because, you know, I've been through, well, now that I have this iPhone, now that I have to go buy a new iPhone every month because I, whatever, they have something called the cloud and all the information's in the cloud. But, you know, I can tell you if Pluto doesn't get his planet status back and, you know, his little mild depression goes into, like, bipolar disorder or something like that, you know, it's going to knock the cloud, he's going to go knock a cloud out, and then no one will know where their children are. Or I won't know where my children are. So,
I won't know where two of mine are. Two of mine are in the military, and I know I won't know where they're at.
Oh, right.
They're
going to
be
halfway across
the world.
You're, like, probably not supposed to know where they are.
Well, of course not. It's uber secret.
They're supposed to be. You know, so just, I mean, you know, none of this is, like, I'm not telling you to do anything. I mean, I'm the last person to tell anybody to do anything until, but these are just some of the observations I am, you know, these are just some of the observations that I'm seeing.
Noted from previous.
And, you know, and think of all the people that don't, there are so many people that don't even have a clue yet, that don't even have a clue that times are changing because we haven't studied history. You know,
those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. That's been one of my dad's big concern. It's like, I mean, my mom was born in 1918, my dad was born in 1919, and it's like they lived through a lot of things. My grandparents on both sides were both born in the 1800s, so it's like I had the benefit of having a family that was really old for starters, but they had gone through, you know, literally from horse and buggy days to people walking on the moon, and they had seen that much change in their lifetime in that you know, years that they were on the planet. I mean, you know, they all lived into their 90s, so it was just, you know, very incredibly amazing the transformations that we have come forward and gone, and people just, you know, take it for granted, you know, today, and just like, oh yeah, it's like, man, it's, you know, what a bummer. My computer is taking, you know, 5 minutes to boot up. It's like, man, I'll tell you what. Well, I remember being in college, and computers didn't just take 5 minutes to boot up. It's like you sat around and twiddled your thumbs for, like, you know, 10 minutes singing the Jeopardy song, waiting for them to make up their mind what they were doing. You know? I don't know if you remember when they were that slow, but it's like, oh
yeah, exactly. I mean, we've just we've created artificial expectations of the capacity of the universe. Most of us have lived through a lot of really good years. You know, my parents were born in 1929. So they were the ones that, you know, they were small children during the Depression. They probably don't, you know, experience the mentality in their parents, but didn't have to actually experience the being an adult during that time. Went out and worked really hard and created this affluence. And my generation just squandered it and created, like, really spoiled children. And now we're all, like, you know, so I just think that I don't even know how we got on this subject. I don't know what we were going to talk about, but
we're kind of all over the place tonight, which is not bad because, I mean, you know, kind of a trip. I don't know. Would you call it a trip down memory lane? A page in history? Blood, Flintstone. It's a page right out of history.
hold on a second, because my my cell phone battery's dying. Of course it's dying, Pluto.
So, yeah, so Mercury is out. So what's the next, Kelly? Do you happen to know what's the next thing? So now we had Mercury in retrograde.
Oh, let's see. You know, darn it. I thought about that earlier. It's like I was going to grab my Llewellyn Moon book because every year Llewellyn, it's like the funny spelling. I think it's like, you know, L-L-E-W-E-Y-L-L-E-N or whatever. It's like, you know, the Llewellyn publishers. They publish what they call a moon book. And it's one of the best references. I mean, it's even better than what I consider the Farmer's Almanac. Because they go with what I'll call, you know, real moon times versus sometimes the Farmer's Almanac. And I got to noticing this through the years of, you know, doing experimenting, I'll say, with gardens and plants and different things. Because for some reason, the Farmer's Almanac stuff sometimes is a day or two off. And it's like, and after the Llewellyn's moon book went through, and they described how they got off on, you know, on the days and times, because it's something with the, you know, the minutes and transition, and, you know, this, I mean, it was like a couple, it was a dissertation. It was like, you know, a couple, 3 pages worth of, you know, this is why ours is different, blah, blah, blah. And theirs seems to work. It's like, then they go through all the gardening, you know, gardening by the moon, fishing by the moon, you know, planting by the moon, whether you can plant above ground crops or below ground crops, and, you know, whether what phase of the moon, you know, whether it's in the first or second phase, because that's the first phase is when it turns new moon. And I believe it went new moon yesterday, or was it today early, something like that. So we just started over. We started on a new moon, and the moon is going to be going up to its waxing phase, and it takes about, you know, 14 days. There's a 28-day moon cycle. So we're going to see the moon increase, and then, you know, it hits full, and then it goes decrease. One of the coolest things that someone showed me on how to figure out if the moon was in a waxing or waning phase was, they said, hold up your hands, you know, like your thumbs and forefingers, and make a big circle. And they said, if you're, you know, when you're facing the moon, and if you see the part of the moon on your right hand, it's in the increasing phase. And if you see it over on the left-hand side, if you know, and then it goes full, and then it, on the left-hand side, it goes to the decreasing phase, and it goes like that. So it's like, it's a really quick way to tell, you know, which phase the moon is in, whether it's on the increasing side or the decreasing side. And I was like, you know, just little things like that. It's like one of the other things that I know they used to teach, and I haven't found for a long time any classes or anything, but the university, well, I went to the University of Wyoming eons ago, they used to teach what was called celestial navigation. And they used to teach it to, like, you know, the sailors. And it got to a point where I think my son said in the military stuff, you know, they would teach it in the military stuff as a means of, like, their mapping and that kind of stuff. But I thought, darn, you know, it's like that would be one of the most interesting, you know, amazing or whatever, you know, ways to teach people how to find things around would be celestial navigation, because essentially the stars don't change. Now, if you have a, you know, condition where the Earth actually, you know, flops, rolls, and does its little, you know, rotational moment that they think it's going to, possibly.
Or Pluto, or what does Pluto do?
Pluto, instead of spinning on its axis like the Earth does, and of course, you know, the Earth right now has rotational wobble, and we're losing part of our magnetic field and that kind of stuff. That's why they think it's going to be one of these, you know, it's going to flop over and do the whole, I'm trying to think what it's called, you know, but it's a polar shift. But yeah, Pluto, instead of being in an upright position like you think of a planet on a globe, it's like spin it over so the axis would be like on the equator, okay, and it's rolling. It's rolling kind of like a wheel. It's kind of like the wheel on the bus, you know, or an axis on a car. It's like Pluto is actually rolling in its rotation. Now, why that would differentiate it from being a non-planet, you know, versus us, because apparently it's held this rotation for millennia, you know, for centuries, whatever. So it's like all of a sudden, why are they deciding that, well, Pluto's not a real planet because it doesn't rotate vertically, it rotates horizontally. It's like, so what is the difference? I'm not sure. I would like to ask some of the Earth scientists what they were thinking on that one.
Yeah, but now we have GPS systems. I mean, that is how they used to, you know, figure out where everything was and make the maps and things like that. But now we just have GPS systems. We just think this stuff comes, that's in our computers, comes from our computers. We've totally removed man from the equation. So, you know, kind of going back. Well, Becky asked how much longer this show's going to go on for.
Yes, we're taking callers. It's like, yes, you know, if you want to
call.
Yeah,
we'll take callers.
The only reason Amy and I are talking is because we totally got nobody calling in tonight. So it's like, okay, we'll just kind of make it, you know, a chat session here. It's like, you know, please, if you guys want to join us, call in and let's have a group chat. It's okay. I'm actually doing, I'm doing not as much with the birth cards as I was, but it's like I've at least got my books back. I'm so pleased. I got my books back. It's like I'm I should
have. We still haven't gotten the computer because I can't, because Pluto.
you haven't got the computer mailed because of Pluto. Okay, I love it. Awesome.
I don't know. I just got kicked out of the chat room, but I should be back reconnecting.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Pluto. I'm sorry, Pluto. So is someone going to call in?
I don't know. Becky, you're going to call in? Thinking. Nobody's typing yet. Okay. I'm going to ask, have I ever done your birth card? I can't recall if I have or
not. No, you never have.
I never have. All right. What is your birthday? All the years.
My birthday is September 23rd, 1957.
23rd. Okay. Now, you got a couple options there. Are you a Virgo or are you a, I never know how to say it, Libra? The scale?
Libra. Hold on. I'll tell you in a second. I have to pull up my, I'm thinking I'm a real strong Libra. I never really, you know, I had no idea I was going to grow up and be a mermaid and a psychic. So I don't even know what time I was born.
Oh, what is the time?
But that'll tell. I'm on the cusp, so I don't. I'm sorry. I'm right on the cusp, and it depends. Yeah. And I honestly don't know because I don't.
You've never had it run.
I am a Libra because I guess by like a couple of minutes. I mean, it's so close on the cusp that it explains why I'm crazy.
Okay, in that case, you're going to be the ace of clubs, and since we're calling you a Libra here and balancing the scales, that makes you a 10 of spades planetary ruler. So let's see what your birth card says. You actually are here tonight. The ace of clubs is, let's see, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, got to get to the card section. There we go. Start with aces, which is very nice. Your card is called the Desire for Knowledge. It's accompanied by the Desire for Love. You have a Two of Hearts Karma card. That's your main influence for the card. Combine those two and you have a person who's a student of love as much as one who would truly like to find their ideal mate. This is only, it's like, I'm sure, you know, there's an indication there that when you were younger, you might have played the field and dated a lot of people, but that's only true until you find the person of your dreams, and you'd rather be with anyone than be alone. That's that, too. But you're not going to give themselves fully until the right person comes along. Like all aces, you're impatient and restless. Your curiosity leads you to be avid students, often with immense libraries and collection of learning materials of all kinds. That same curiosity keeps you youthful, even into the last years of your life. You're always interested in new things, ideas, and topics of discussion. That makes a lot of sense because the clubs are the scholars of the deck. You're very smart. You can use your brains and creativity to generate ample funds. You can make money in things associated with the arts or groups of women, anywhere where creativity and quick thinking can be utilized for profit. You're very congenial and considerate, and it helps you make friends at work and gives you good communication skills. Most people feel very comfortable around you because of your ability to make others feel special and included. You got a very sharp, quick mind. You're witty and avid talkers. Gee, imagine that. Okay. Your mother was an especially likely and important figure in your life. She was probably very likely a powerful woman with a sharp mind and a great deal of intuition. Similar to the Ace of Diamonds, who also has a Queen as a Mercury card, the relationship with your mother formed lasting impressions upon you that often affected your love life and your relationship just with other women.
Wow, yeah, because I was adopted, and she didn't, when I called her, I found her, you know, through a search system, and I told her, and she denied it, and she was a cancer social worker, and so then I contacted her again when I got breast cancer because I needed to know genetic information so I didn't have to spend all this, you know, and she denied it again. Yeah, so it's a pretty powerful, it pretty much everything on there is on target.
But, you know, I haven't paid much attention because until you read my birth cards, I didn't know if they were just, you know,
what it really was.
Entertainment or based on something, but that is so accurate. What is the history of it? I mean, what is it based on? Based on numerology? Or is it
no, it's wow. See, and this is one of the things I want to do a series on this cards and where they came from, where and it's like and I just asked Becky, it was okay. So, I'm actually going to do Becky's card here, December 17th, 1985. I'm going to give her a verbal reading, but where they came from and where we first see them in history, and he mentioned after they you know kind of popped to the surface, is actually in the Bible. The three guys that brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Christ's child. You know, they were called the Magi or the astrologers, you know, the wise men from the East, you know. But they were actually, then there's one translation I found that called them the Magi from the East. And I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense because these cards, you know, our deck of playing cards is called, you know, it comes from the order of the Magi, which is what these guys were from. And that's what they used to find Christ to bring him those gifts, which was really amazing. I mean, it's got a history behind it.
Because they used them. This goes back to that celestial whatever you were talking about before, celestial season, celestial magic.
Oh,
James
Virgil's Celestine Prophecy.
No, not Celestine Prophecy. We were talking about the class.
Celestial Navigation.
Thank you.
Yeah, Celestial Navigation, right.
Speaking of Celestine, you're going to do Becky's cards. I'm sorry.
You're
going to do Becky's cards. But now I have an excuse for talking over everybody because, you know, the Bible told me to. The cards.
That works. Let's see. December 17th. Okay. Wow. Oh, we've got two Ace of Clubs ladies here. This is so funny. Okay, Becky, guess what? You and Amy have something really in common. You're both Ace of Clubs. December 17th, you're both Ace of Clubs birth cards. The only thing that differs is that planetary ruling card. Becky's planetary ruler is the Three of Diamonds, and whereas Amy's is the Ten of Spades. So I'll talk a little bit more. I'll go into this a little bit more with I'll finish on the Ace of Clubs stuff, and then we'll kind of differentiate between those two planetary rulers there. So, and it is, it's so funny because I found this so much when I, you know, when I'm doing these on a regular basis on air, is that a lot of people, and I swear, it's got to be the energies, because sometimes, you know, I would get like three or four people that were, you know, the exact same birth card. I mean, there were different planetary rulers, different months and stuff, but the same birth cards were calling in for their readings. And it was just like, wow, it just blew me away. Like,
do you ever teach classes
for,
on
you know,
these?
Whatever.
Do you ever teach classes on them? I would love to learn them.
That's what I'm, you know, that's what I've been toying around with. When Jethro said he really wanted, you know, some classes and stuff, it's like, I would be really, I'd be really glad to go through and do this. And it's just like, you know, do something like a card a day or a card a week or, you know, something like that. It's like trying to figure out how to do this. But because they go through and they make a study of each of the 52 cards in the deck. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and finish here.
I know, so back about this, and that Becky's getting a reading. I'm still talking.
That's okay. So everything I just said about Amy, Becky, this applies to you up to now. The later years, though, is not going to be satisfactory unless you turn to spirituality for guidance, which, you know, both you guys have. There's two sevens in Uranus and Neptune, which represent the last part of your life, can either bring material problems or spiritual success. The happiest ones are those who eternal quest for knowledge extends to self-knowledge as well. You're often the, quote, divine discontent. You need travel. You need changes in your life and in your work to satisfy both your desire for knowledge and that inner restlessness. Concerning relationships, the Ace of Clubs is one of the four special cards we call the semi-fixed cards, because in the deck of 52, there are three fixed cards and then there's four of the semi-fixed cards. The three fixed cards, as ironically enough, Jethro is one of those. He's the Eight of Clubs. The King of Spades and the Jack of Hearts are the three fixed cards. They never move from their spot in the spreads and the layouts. The other ones that do move a little bit are the semi-fixed cards, which is the Ace of Clubs, which is what you guys are, a Two of Hearts, a Seven of Diamonds, and a Nine of Hearts. But the Ace of Clubs has a unique connection with the Two of Hearts, which is its karmic soul twin, which only two other cards in the deck share, which is the Seven of Diamonds and the Nine of Hearts. Though you're a seven, you see seven karma cards listed, only the Two of Hearts is close to it. The Ace and the Two Ace of Clubs and Two of Hearts are nearly exact mirrors of each other, sharing each other's personality traits and characteristics. Because a Two of Hearts is the card of the lovers, the Ace of Clubs has a lifetime ambition to find the perfect love. It doesn't necessarily mean the perfect marriage. We can only marry our perfect lover, but marriage is not necessarily a requirement when the Two of Hearts is concerned. What the Ace of Clubs is looking for is that love relationship, that love affair that's timeless, that's eternal, you know, perhaps out of this world. Like the Two of Hearts, many Ace of Clubs have the reputation for play in the field. However, it only occurs among those who have not yet found that true love that they were searching for. And if and when they find that person of their dreams, they're very devoted and monogamous. You guys tend to have that romantic glow in your eyes because, you know, there's a special relationship out there for you somewhere. You never let go of that dream come true and lasting love. And, you know, the person you pick as a mate is like they tell them to consider themselves lucky if, you know, an Ace of Clubs has chosen them to be their special person in their life. Like some of the cards, the Ace of Clubs has very high ideals about love. Because of that, you can crash really hard when your dreams are not met. You tend to go into a relationship with great expectations and enthusiasm, you know, especially think when they found the one, you know, and if you place too many expectations on the relationship and that relationship fails, you might close up and go, I never want to, you know, or it might be a never, never's a long time, but, you know, it just says it's going to be harder for you to trust or open up again. The dreams are never quite lost, but you might never take the chance again in order to protect yourself. The ones who have been hurt in this way need to see their relationships in a more realistic light, you know. It's like, I'm not sure Disney did us any favors, okay. The best relationships are created by working on their personal and emotional issues in an open and loving way, not just by finding the right person to be with, which can be the illusion created by their Two of Hearts karma card, but it's actually, you know, you make yourself the right person to, you know, to be with, I mean, if that makes any sense, okay, because it kind of goes back to, you know, you love God first, but you love your neighbor as you love yourself, okay, so you really got to make sure, ironically enough, you have a good relationship with yourself, because you can't love others unless you are, you know, at least loving yourself first, and if you can't love your brother who you can see, then how can you love God who you cannot see, that kind of thing. Okay, and then we're going to look at the planetary rulers here. I'm going to take a look at Becky's planetary ruler first here because the threes come before the ten. She is a three. Becky, you are a three of diamonds. And I know three is about a lot of changeability. That three of diamonds is your planetary ruler. It gives you a lot of creative ability, which if expressed can bring great success. However, an uncertainty about your line of work or what is most important to you in life may also cause a great deal of worry or stress from time to time. In particular, you might worry about money a lot, even when you're doing well financially. Creative expression is a healing balm for you. You might also find yourself drawn toward the study of, you know, mysteries, metaphysics. Man, imagine you being on a psychic kind of wall show. How about that? Other spiritual subjects. You have a natural gift of understanding and a keen mind that penetrates the deepest subjects. Personally, you probably have a lot of challenges in that relationship area just connected to your fluctuating values and abundant possibilities. And I know they always talk about threes as being very... let's see, insecure is not the word, it's like very changeable, it's like threes can change their minds a lot, you know, kind of like some people change their socks type of thing, and when you're with a partner, if you're kind of changeable like that, your partner kind of sits there and goes, what foot are we on today, you know, it makes them kind of going, okay, what flavor of Baskin-Robbins are we doing today, type of thing, so it makes your partner more insecure, is the word I was looking for there. So that's kind of a little bit on Becky's. And then Amy's, your planetary ruler is this Ten of Spades. And that ruling card tends to make you a person who goes to extremes at times. When you get into something, you really get into it. You can be a workaholic and probably feel somewhat burdened by your work at times. Or a lot of the time, you have some desires for a settled and satisfying family life that may seem to compete with your ambitions at work. You have the ability to take on enormous amounts of work and get it done, and you can harness energy that few others could in the same situation. You desire to be known for something you have done or created, and you will work like crazy until you achieve it. There's probably uncertainty surrounding your inner relationships that could add to your inner conflict between love and work. And that's the short story.
Yeah, well, it's pretty accurate. I don't know about yours, Becky, but mine is...
And Becky's like, where is he at? You know what? I'm going to tell you what Tony was telling people the other day on the love and relationship stuff. He says, okay, you know, I mean, and it was kind of uniform. He says, visualize your ideal relationship, get a piece of paper, write this love letter. You know, it's like, write this, you know, love letter to the universe. It's like, you know, I am so thankful and grateful that, you know, and I know you've seen The Secret, you know, that this person who is, you know, like this and, you know, has these qualities and whatever, and thank you, God, he's in my life now. So, and it was so funny because there were people, I mean, Tony just totally turned it around on the people that were coming in, and they'd say, well, what am I doing, or where am I going, or what am I supposed to be? And he started going, where are you? You know, it's like, what do you want to be doing? What do you want to be? And, like, people was like, it's like they hadn't figured it out. It's like, well, we're not sure. He's like, well, how can you have any goals and know where you're going to go unless you know what you're doing? And it was just, he made people, you know, stop and think. It's like, well, where do you want to go? You know, what's your, kind of like back in, oh, golly, remember back when we were in, you know, 5th grade, 10th grade, high school, all those. I was like, what would you like to be when you grow up? It's like, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, it's like it doesn't give the universe much to work with. It's like, if you don't know, they sit around and twiddle their thumbs too, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, and she does know what she wants. Excellent. Okay, really good.
Oh, that, yeah, Becky it... knows. Becky, I think, you know, Becky knows what she wants. I think I know what I want, too.
Yeah, because Becky and I both, and Kelly's widow as well. Becky's all gung ho. That's why I just said it. Kelly's a widow, too. Becky is, she's a, we're in a widow's group together online, and there's different people in all different, and you're welcome to join if you're having young widows, which I think I would translate it to widows who hope they have sex again before they die is what it is. Becky and I are on the old end of it. I don't know what else to call it.
Yes, that thought does. I mean,
so, but there's all different. There's people in all different. You know, there's people at all different stages of their grief, and there's people who are going out and getting in bad relationships. And for some of you that call into the show regularly, you remember the girl that we did the reading for. She was a widow, and then I saw it happen over and over again. That you go out, you don't want to replace your dead husband. You want to keep your dead husband on a pedestal, so you go out and find, like, the biggest dirtball on the planet, and, you know, so that you don't one up the dead, so you don't insult the dead guy.
That's the dead guy. Oh, God.
And then we have someone who found their soulmate, and then we have, I don't know, and then I'm really sad because because the Bible tells us that marriage only lasts till death, but in France, you can marry dead people. So I'm hoping to remarry my dead husband because I like him a lot better dead than alive. But Becky is so brave, bold, and beautiful. She is out there dating sensation.
Pitching. She's out there pitching, as the case may be. It's like, you know, they'd like, but it's the baseball game. She's out there pitching or batting and swinging, whichever, yeah. Exactly. I mean, and for me, it's tough for me to think in terms of, you know, wanting to date somebody else because I've had so many people, I mean, as other, you know, because, well, I don't know, not just psychic lines and stuff, but people around me just, you know, kind of look at me and go, are you in a relationship? It's like, you know, you come across as really, you know, that what I've heard it called the closed corporation. And I could look at him and go, no, you know, he's on the other side. You know, the trouble is, he's on the other side, and it's like we hold hands through the veil or something. I don't know how I feel, too.
And I decided that's what I decided last week, that it is perfectly okay. It is your choice. And it is my choice. You know, I'm not saying, you know, it would be nice to have sex with a live person again before I die. But I just feel so connected to him. I just can't even imagine how. I guess it would be like Utah. Maybe if I could move to Utah, and it would be like, brother husbands, you know, and one, you know, polygamy.
Yeah.
But I feel so connected, and I feel like we're in such a partnership and such a mission together. I feel like he's sort of like, you know, playing a role in, you know, giving me signs, and I hate to, you know,
you're meeting him on the other side. I mean, it's like, yeah, you don't want to mess that up.
Not the other side. He's like, yeah, he's like right there. He's like right there. It's just no, you know. So it's you know, it's just, but the universe will give you, the universe will give you exactly, the universe will give you exactly what you want. So, I'm not opposed to it, but Kelly, it was interesting to hear you talk about it. 'Cause that's kind of how I feel. It's like, you know, where would I,
I'm in mourning, don't talk to the widow over there with the black veil on.
The trio, you know what I mean? I'm kind of
right,
going,
right, exactly.
Yeah, you know?
Right, that would be a great TV show. We can all live on a block and have dead husbands that we...
I'm sure somebody could make a good sitcom out of it. I'm sure they could. It would be very interesting.
Right. Like that show, well, I'll be showing my age. There used to be a show, My Mother, the Car, where this guy's mother reincarnated as a car and go out in the garage and talk to her.
Oh, wow.
Whatever. Whatever. Anyway, does anybody, okay, so we got Becky. Who else is in the room? Does anybody else want to, and I do know who Becky. I do know who Becky's waiting for, but unlike some other people, you know, she's not. She's keeping herself open to.
I got a song for Becky. The waiting is the hardest part. Those are the vocally safe songs. Yes, I know.
You know, but I mean, I do know that they want us to be happy. You know, they want us to be happy, and they don't want us wallowing up. But I just wouldn't have any. I mean, I just can't imagine. I honestly just can't imagine it. I can't imagine. Not that I would sit there and just talk about them all the time or something like that. I just can't imagine what a day would be like if I had to. Oh right, and Jan just got married.
Yeah,
she
I
got
know.
Married like within the past
so cool.
6 weeks or something.
Yeah,
that's very exciting.
I think she's still got her wedding photos, you know, and everything posted on Facebook. Which is, I mean, look at her dress. I mean, she's beautiful. It's like Jan is a wonderful, beautiful bride, and it's like, and she got her, you know, her hubby is awesome, you know, gorgeous looking guy. So it's like, yes, it's like we're still throwing flowers for Jan and Steve there. So.
It's a beautiful love story after she spent a lot of time helping her mother cross and being a good daughter and a good sister. And, Jan, don't be sorry for me. Seriously, if he was still alive, I doubt that we would be together because it was difficult. It was very difficult. And now it's like a little fairy tale. It's just, you know, so... And Becky, Kelly, when were you widowed? How many years ago? The wild 10, huh. Right, or something?
A long, no, it's like, actually, my husband died back in 1989.
Oh, so that's like my son was born. So he's, it's like 22 years ago. Becky's at 3 years. Yeah. I'm in a year and a half. It's 2011,
Honestly, it took me like 10 years. It took me 10 years before I was functional because I had just come out of, when I was 19, I mean, I was so spooked because I went in for counseling on this aspect. I was 32, apparently, is a transition year. It adds to a 5, so it's one of those, you know, years you move and change. Well, when I was 19, my sister and my brother-in-law, who were both age 32, and their 11-year-old daughter, my niece, all got killed by drunk drivers. 10 years later, I'm just, you know, I'm still healing the whole closed on that one because that was a bad one for me. And then my husband, I'm 29, and my husband, who is also age 32, dies. And here I am with, you know, 3 little kids. I'm like, okay, great. You know, I was convinced I was going to die when I was 32. So when I turned, you know, before I turned 32, I went to State Farm. I got a whole bunch of insurance on myself, and they kind of looked at me and said, what's up? And I said, I'm just, you know, concerned I might not live through this year. And they were like, do we need to have you evaluated? I said, no, you know, it's just, if I make it past 32, I'll be fine. No, it's like, and then I did. It's like the day I turned 33, I'm a carrier.
Now you'll live till 900. It's like,
Something like that.
Yeah, 2 exit points, 32 and 320.
Oh, no, there's more. It's like there's more. It's like anything that adds to a 5, you know, 5, 14, 20, 32, 41, 50. And then you start going back into what adds down to 50, there's like, 5 plus 9 is 14, 1 and 4 is 5, so 59 is an exit point. You know, it's like 60s gets a little bit harder, but it's like any age that adds down to a 5 numerologically can be a transition year. And it's like we typically come into this life with at least what they call 5 transition points or 5 exit points. And people can choose an early, you know, opt out an earlier option, or they can, you know, drag it out until the very last one. In my mother's case, I know about it just from this one. She was, you know, quote, supposed to die, if you will, after Thanksgiving of 04. due to some events that happened in July, she opted out. She took an earlier opt-out date, and she chose to die, like, July 13th at 9:13 in the morning of 2004. And I was a little bit cranky with my brother because he was kind of instrumental in those circumstances that brought that. So I was like, yeah. But we have options and we have choices when we come in. It's like it's another one of those things. It's not a hard and set fast as to when stuff.
Well, that's
going
interesting
up.
Too, because I've why there's so many things that that we have to talk about. I've heard people say there's only one, and then I've heard some that say, you know, there's multiples, and then always our free will. Well, you know, and I've heard for some people their suicide was one of their points, and you know, it's just interesting. But what's really interesting for me tonight was to learn about the birth cards, you know, being biblical in origin, because I think if we learn more about symbols and forms of communication and messages we get about words, that we would get rid of some of the judgment, you know, because they're like the international sign for something is, you know, is one thing, but language and everything is what creates, you know, but there's symbols and the patterns, and they're all through, you know, they're all through. This stuff didn't come out of nowhere, you know, this didn't come out of,
It came from someplace, I'll say, higher intelligence, because one of the things that, you know, they draw the parallels, and they say, okay, for example, in our deck of 52 cards, how many weeks are there in a year? Coincidence? 52. How about that? Okay, how many seasons are there? Well, holy moly, there's four, just like there's four suits in the deck. How many lunar months are there? See, there's ace through king, which is 13 cards per suit. To, you know, technically speaking, there are 13 lunar months. We're not on a lunar calendar, and it's like we're not on the Hebrew calendar, we're on the Gregorian calendar, but there are 13 lunar months in the year. There's something with the sevens. I'm trying to scrounge back and remember that. So when they do these, it's like they do, and then they do the patterns of saying, okay, like Mercury influences your year, you know, your yearly stuff. Each planet has a crack at it for 52 days. Mercury influences the first 52, and then the next 52 days are with Venus, the next 52 are with Mars, and then there's the next 52 is, what is it, Jupiter, and then there's 52 for Saturn, and there's 52 for Uranus, and there's 52 for, let's see, what am I missing here? We got, is that right? Let's see. Yeah, Mercury. Let me think. Mercury, Venus,
Pluto
Mars.
Doesn't get them anymore because they're not a planet.
No, but Pluto has a special place. Interestingly enough, in this one, Pluto is what's called one of the long-range cards. It's like, or it's one of the yearly cards. There's five yearly cards, which is like there's a long-range card. There's one that's called your Pluto card. There's one that's called the result card. There's one that's called the environmental card and displacement card and the or the environmental card and the displacement card are the five. And those are the big five that influence your year for, you know, things likely to happen. And then you go kind of, and they say, it's kind of like, think of a watercolor painting. It's like each of those planetary influences kind of goes back over with a paintbrush. And it's like the planetary influence for those 52 days is the strongest for those cards at that time in that space. But there's like a light watercolor wash, say, for the whole rest of the year, anytime situations, you know, involving those two cards would come up. So it's like, it's really interesting how, you know, how this whole thing, you know, as I understand it today, it's like, you know, came to be. And this gentleman by the name of Olney Richmond in the 1800s first started this, and it's like he didn't start it, but he brought it forward to modern times. He brought it out from hiding because it had gone underground, you know, like I was talking about the potato crop. It had gone underground, and we have 90 seconds. Wonderful. Wow. You know, but it had gone underground for centuries, and it was hidden knowledge. So, yeah, it's like I'm playing around with it this week a little bit and kind of looking at seeing what I can do in terms of formatting it and just kind of, you know, going forward with that. And for people who want to, you know, learn about it and listen to it, it's like, you know, I can, you know, do some short segments on it and just kind of say, you know, today we're going to learn about blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like in that way at least it'll be archived and people want to go back and listen to certain segments, they can, which would be really time saver. And then we have 60 seconds, so... Go out, have one of Jethro's tea readings.
Right, don't forget about Kelly's coffee. Don't forget about, Kelly's coffee.
And Jethro's. We got to get you on this stuff, too. You haven't,
yeah, I am. I need it to get, I
I had manifested some unabundance, but I just changed that around. So now I'm trying to get all caught up on all those things. So good. I'm glad the people that it's good to see Becky and Jan and all of our loyal listeners. And it's just a lot of fun.
We appreciate you guys.
Hopefully.
10 seconds. That's a countdown. Think something quick.
Okay. Have a great weekend. Becky, go date for me because I'm taken. My
Go have some Chinese. Eat with chopsticks. It's more entertaining.
Everybody, go do something. You know, that's my new thing. Is try to do something that's outside of my comfort zone. At least once a day, try to do something that's outside my comfort zone. Would be it. Don't get arrested.
And don't get arrested.
Yeah,
oh,
Becky's going
dance
dancing.
Dance hard up from us. All right, good. I wish I could let you dance some pounds off for me, too. That would work, too. I'm trying to
great.
Figure out
well, we'll
about
see
it.
Everybody soon.
All righty. We'll be back tomorrow. We're here 7 days a week, as far as we know. And we'll see you on Psychics Gone Wild tomorrow, which is today's Friday. Wow, tomorrow's Saturday. I think, I'm not sure who's on. I think Jethro's going to be on. I'm not sure who he's with, but anyway, you guys have a great one and have a great weekend, and we'll see you again at 773-897-6461. Have an awesome night, guys. Thank you so much for being here.